Hello, this is our Titus Bible Study Series, where we're looking at 10 truths, 10 doctrines, and 10 principles. This is study number 8, God's mercy. We're looking at Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. And Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarrelling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And that's the passage, that's the text that we're looking at now. And again, I just encourage you as the group leader to let the members of the group, whether you're doing this via Zoom or in person, that you just allow them to share at the chit-chat level and then invite them to share one thing they're thankful for, one thing they would like prayer for. And those things, as I've mentioned before, are leader tools, because those things, when they share them, let you hear what is really going on, what has been going on, and what you can do to help, especially in prayer. All right, as I read through this, I'm not suggesting that you read through this as you lead the group, but invite members of the group to read the questions, to read the paragraphs, and so on. Also, these studies allow you the flexibility to add your own questions in where you see it's going to help the group to understand it. So here we go. We're looking at the truth. God is good, loving, and merciful. We saw that in the text. And the doctrine of theology proper. And I'll explain that as we get toward the end of the study. And the principle, that is the application, what we apply from the text, show perfect courtesy to others. What God does in those people that he redeems reveals a lot about God. From Paul's initial description of the Christians, refer to Titus 1:12. So you might remember this, we saw this in some of our opening studies. One of the Christians, a prophet of their own, said, "Christians are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." Not a very flattering assessment. The transformation in these Christians who turned to Christ must have been dramatic. They became kind, considerate, humble, and caring. Paul told Titus that the Holy Spirit's regeneration of a soul would be evident by their selfless serving of others, which he called good works. Note Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, which says, "They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." Wow, that's, again, not a overly flattering assessment. But he also instructed Titus to teach and preach what it meant for the Christians to live out their new life in Christ. This is the power of preaching and teaching in church, why it is absolutely necessary for people to grasp the truths of the Christian life through the word. Right, question one. Based on Titus chapter 3, verse 1, which says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work." How often did the Christian believers need to be instructed in Christian living? Well, remind them. So how often did they need to hear it? Probably a lot, and not just Christians, by the way. We all need to be reminded continually about God's word. So that's question one. Question two. Who was Paul instructing Titus to teach the Christians to submit to? Well, we just saw it there. He's telling them that they need to submit to rulers and authorities. Now, The question, I guess, that I'm asking is that just secular authorities? Is that just those, the police, the law enforcement, or does it also include the leadership of the church? And I guess that's the question I'd like, I would hope that you discuss as a group. And I hope that somewhere in there, someone says, well, maybe that certainly fits in to the categories of rulers and authorities. And I think indeed it does. So that's that obviously may be a trigger for some people who have felt the abuse by church leaders previously. So let's continue on. On the next page, we've got a picture of Diodorus. And let's have a look here. The opposition of Christianity to heathenism and the natural disposition to rebellion of the Jews under the Roman Empire, of whom many lived in Crete, might lead many to forget practically what was a recognized Christian principle in theory, submission to the powers that be. Diodorus Siculus mentions the tendency of the Cretans to riotous insubordination. So the Cretans really did not have a very good reputation at all. What did Titus have to teach the Cretans to be ready for? So in Titus 3:1, we're still looking at that verse, to be ready for every good work. And every good work, it started in the church. So it seems that also looking at submit to rulers and authorities and be ready for good work, it sounds like they may be instructed by rulers and authorities to do something in a particular. And the fact that they would do it without complaint, do it readily, was actually a part of their Christian witness. Question 4. Considering Titus chapter 3 verse 2, what might the interpersonal relationships among the Cretans have been like, and what may have caused it? All right, so Titus 3 2 says this: to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people. So what does that tell us? What does that tell us what might have been going on among the Cretans? Well, it tells us that there may have been a bit of backbiting. There may have been a bit of fighting, quarreling, and angst between people, that they were being aggressive and that they weren't being considerate of others. Hence, Paul instructs Titus to teach them to do the opposite of those things to the glory of Christ. In Titus 3:3, and Titus 3:3 says, for we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. Oh man, what a culture. But this is what Paul does. Paul skillfully includes himself in how people used to live and treat others before they were born again. This highlights the dramatic change in Cretan believers since coming to Christ. How often do we pray for God to transform those in our community who are living godless lives and thus seem far from Christ? So that's a great question. There's a great challenge. How often are we praying for our next door neighbours, those people that we complain about perhaps, to come to know Christ and have their lives transformed? Great question. Question 5. Based on Titus chapter 3 verses 4 to 5, which says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So based on that passage, how might we pray for such people? Well, we certainly might pray that they encounter the goodness and loving kindness of God as their Saviour. And we might also pray that he would transform them by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. In other words, that the Holy Spirit would get a grip of them and transform their souls so that they too would come to know Christ and begin to live as if they knew Christ. Question 6. How does the Apostle Paul describe Jesus in Titus chapter 3 verse 5? Well, Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. So how does the Apostle Paul describe Jesus? Well, Jesus is described there as our Savior. So in that passage, he's the one who is saving. So we see here a beautiful picture of what it means to worship Christ, and we worship Christ because he is God. So how is Jesus described? As our Savior and our God. Now, note how Paul affirms the triune nature of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. So we note there, God our Savior, it mentions there, and it talks about the work of the Holy Spirit. Just an interesting point that whenever love is mentioned, it's often attributed to the Father. It's the Father is the one who loves. And so the loving kindness of God, there's God the Father alluded to, and then our Savior, Jesus Christ, he saved us. All right, and then it says it was by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's the Trinity at work there. So having looked at that passage now, let's consider the theology proper. So theology proper means just looking at God himself. So we've got some blanks to fill in here. Theology is the study of God. There are many branches of theology, but the study of God himself is referred to as theology proper. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 7, which we've looked at verses 4 and 5 just in the last little bit. So let's have a look at verse 6. Whom he poured out on us, referring to the Holy Spirit, richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So in that passage, there are some profound insights about God. This passage reveals that God's heart toward people is one of goodness and loving kindness. There's those two blanks to fill in there. It reveals that God is the Savior of mankind, not because of anything that mankind has done, but because he is merciful. So these are the words we're getting out of that scripture passage. He imparts the Holy Spirit richly through Jesus Christ and is then the justifier, it says there, of those he redeems because he is also gracious. Ultimately, the salvation of the redeemed will culminate in them receiving their inheritance, which means they are God's heirs. So there's some really rich words in there, and you'll see those words. You may have even read those words in the New Testament and not fully appreciated what's going on here. The principle of courtesy. So now we're looking at the application. When we come to know this God and draw close to him in worship, it results in our lives being transformed so that we reflect his character to others. Question 7. When is it the most challenging to apply Titus chapter 3 verse 2, which says, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy toward all people? When is that the most challenging? Well, and why is it important that Christians do apply it? It's the most challenging when someone's saying that about you, when someone's treating you that way. It's so tempting just to respond in a similar way than you're being treated. But this is a discussion question. All these principle questions, how we apply the lessons of the study, are meant to provoke some discussion. Question 8. What might be the biggest challenge that a new Christian might face in applying that verse, Titus 3:2, and how could you help them? Well, the first thing you could do is be an example. The second thing you could do is at least be understanding when they don't measure up and let them know, that's okay, you're on a journey, you're being transformed. Keep going on this journey. And then the group, as you discuss this, might have some other ideas about how you could help a Christian live out that really, really difficult verse of how we speak and treat others who maybe aren't being so nice to us. All right, here's the closing prayer. Lord Jesus, our great God and Savior, we ask that your grace administered to us by your Holy Spirit would enable us to treat others with perfect courtesy. When others are unkind to us, help us to be kind to them. Help us to live as your children and to reflect your love, goodness, kindness, and mercy. May we delight to serve others and to use the gifts that you have given us to bless others. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And having read that prayer out, it would be the ideal time to share again the prayer requests from the members of the group and pray for each other. God bless you. I'll be back to look at our next study, which is study number 9, God's goodness.